Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So this morning I want to get into the Word with you. And if you were not here last night we have on Saturday nights and Sunday nights we have encounter services. On Saturday nights it's in English only. And on Sunday nights it's an English-Spanish service, so it's bilingual. So if you were not here last night, I encourage you, come out tonight, even if it is half in Spanish, you get double trouble. Amen? It's very powerful, really wonderful to actually have the bilingual service. So again, if you were not here, come out. We have the encounter services on Saturday nights and Sunday nights. It gives us more time because we're not limited because of two services. And then on Sunday mornings, we do more of a teaching type service. But again, I encourage you strongly to come to both. Now, this morning's message kind of really flows into last night. So if you were here last night, you'll really get the gist of it. But the message this morning is entitled, The Name of Jesus. The Name of Jesus. And the Bible says in Romans 10, verse number 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There is no other name like that name. And oftentimes in church, we kind of forget just how powerful the name of Jesus really is. We sometimes forget that it's only because of that name that we are saved. It's very clear that it's by that name, if we confess that name, the Lord Jesus, and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So there is no other way to the Father. In fact, the Bible says that there is no other way to the Father. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to get to him. If you want to communicate with God, the only way to do it is in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. The only way to be saved, the first miracle that you will experience in your walk with God is by giving your heart to him, is by being born again. And the way that you are born again is because of what Jesus did on the cross. Can we all say amen? Now, Philippians 2 verse number 9 says this. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now watch. To the glory of God the Father. Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. His name, who he is, what he did, and what he continues to do is always and forever and will forever be giving glory to the Father. And through Jesus, we get to see exactly who the Father is. There is no other name like that name. The Bible says that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that every knee shall bow at that name, and that even in heaven and on earth and below the earth, in other words, there is no force, there is no personality, there is no spirit, there is nothing that will not bow a knee to that name. The name of Jesus is so powerful. The name of Jesus carries the presence of God. It carries heaven in it. But that name should never be taken for granted, because we can see in the Word of God that the name of Jesus carries so much power when we know what it means, when we know who it represents. Many people have a tendency to say many things about the name of Jesus. And in fact, there's even a story in the Bible where they were the sons of Sceva and they wanted to cast out demons by the Jesus who Paul knew. The problem is that they didn't know this Jesus. And so when they tried to do it, the demons basically said this, Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you? Because the representation, who they were representing, they didn't know him. That's why understanding who Jesus really is absolutely vital to your walk with God as a believer. You are called as a Christian, now listen to me, to live a supernatural life. And if you don't like it, you've got a real big problem, because your God is supernatural. There is nothing ordinary about him. Listen, if you think ordinary is blowing air into dust and causing life to be formed, I don't know about you, there's nothing ordinary about that. There's nothing ordinary about a God who can separate an ocean. There's nothing ordinary about a God who can make it rain and flood the entire earth. There is nothing ordinary about a Jesus that walks on the earth. And when he walks on the earth and he walks into a room, that the demon spirits will say, "Who are you? We know who you are, Jesus. You are the Son of God. What do you want with us? Have you come to torment us?" Because you see, even the forces of darkness, even the spirits and the things from under the earth must bow their knee to the name of Jesus. When Jesus walked the earth, there was nothing ordinary about what he did. And it's amazing because he made a point of making it very clear that we were supposed to continue the mission that he started. You see, you might be ordinary, but living inside you is a God that is extraordinary. Living inside you is the Spirit of the Most High God. How many of you know? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you when you give your life to him. I'm so glad you're all so convincing this morning. He lives on the inside of you. And when you know that name, when you understand the power of that name, not only will your life change, but even the people that live around you, you will understand what it means when you pray in that name. You will understand that when you pray in the name of Jesus, that anything can happen. In fact, when you understand who Jesus really was and you pray for someone, you'll be excited because you won't even know what's about to take place, because something supernatural can take place when you pray in that name. There are people that will say to you, "Well, you know, you can't say Jesus, you must only say Yeshua." Now, I've got no problem. When I pray in my room at home, I love to pray in that name, Yeshua, because Yeshua is the Hebrew name for Jesus, and it's so beautiful and so powerful, but I'm English. So I say Jesus, and translated into Hebrew, it means Yeshua. See, it's not about the language, it's about the person. And so when I pray in the name of Jesus, it has just as much power as praying in the name of Yeshua. Why? Because it's the same person. Don't build your religion out of something that becomes idolatry. Jesus is not, it's not about the word, it's about the person. In the Old Testament, they wouldn't even say the name of God because they understood that the name of God was so powerful, so majestic, so supernatural, so nothing ordinary that they were too scared to say his name. Now we say the name of Jesus and people will say, "Well, you can't say that. You've got to say this. You can't do this." Listen, in Spanish, it's Jesus. It's beautiful. Jesus. Have you ever heard Spanish songs when they sing? Come on, Sunday night, you'll hear it. On Sunday night, they'll sing songs, they'll say, Jesus, and it means the same as Jesus. It means the same as Yeshua. Why? Because it represents exactly the same person. The problem is not what language I say it in. The problem is, do you know him? Because if you know him, when you say that name, demons will tremble. When you say that name, when you know who he is, all of heaven pays attention. Not only heaven, not only earth, but even under the earth. Oh God, amen. There is no name like that name. There is no power like the power that comes because of the name of Jesus. You see, If I say Jesus to you and it's just ordinary, it's just normal, it's just a name, something's wrong. You see, when the ministry of Jesus began to grow and his ministry began to expand, it was becoming too difficult for him to do the work that he needed to do. So he called over his disciples. The Bible says there were 70 of them. And he called over them. He called them over. And he said, I'm going to send you out. I'm going to send you out. I'm going to give you authority. You see, when you're a servant of the Lord and you have the Spirit of God living inside you, he gives you authority. Authority is not something that you can try to get. You either have it or you don't. And it comes from one place, and only one person can give you that authority. That authority comes from the Lord himself. Amen. Now watch this, because this is really good. Is there something wrong with the screen, guys? Or are we just like hanging around on that scripture? Okay. Now watch. Let's go to Luke 10, but let's start. Let's start in verse number 8. So you understand that Jesus has said to them, I'm going to send you because there's the laborers are few, but the harvest is great. I need you to go into the different houses. I need you to begin to minister. And this is what he tells them. He says, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Now watch. Heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. That's really, he doesn't say a whole lot more than that. He basically tells them, I want you to go. I want you to lay hands on the sick. I want you to minister about me. I want you to talk about me. But when they come back, this is what we need to pay attention to. Luke 10, verse number 17. Luke 10, verse number 17. Now understand, they understood who they were with. Come on, they walked with him. They talked with him. They ate with him. They lived with him. They breathed with him. They saw everything he did. So they knew who he was. So when they would go into the city, they would go in the city and they would go to people's homes, and I don't know exactly what they said, but they would walk in the home and say, listen, you know, we're here in the name of Jesus because he's the one we represent. And when they walked into the houses, things began to happen. Something began to happen. Why? Because they knew the Jesus that they served. They knew him. They knew that everywhere he went, there was power. Everywhere he went, lives were changed. Prostitutes gave their heart to him. People that were bleeding, women that were bleeding got healed instantly. The brokenhearted were healed up. The story of Mary Magdalene, a brokenhearted woman, ends up getting healed and serves the Lord all the days of her life. Everywhere Jesus went, it was supernatural. Nothing normal about what he did. Luke 10, 17 says, and then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. In other words, when they walked into town, thinking that they were going to pray for the sick and preach the gospel of Jesus, when they walked into town, even the demons began to respond. And the disciples were amazed. Because everything they saw the Lord do was happening with them when they would go and say, here we are in the name of Jesus. Why? Because they understood the power of that name. They understood the power of the name. Look at what it says. Then the 70 returned with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Next verse. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Next verse. Behold, watch, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Everybody say all the power of the enemy. What does that mean in the original language? It's not complicated. Don't get over theological. It means all. And the word authority, the word power there actually speaks of authority. In other words, you have a greater authority in the name of Jesus. Why? Because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Let me ask you a question. If this is true, this is what the Bible says, it must be true. But if this is true, why do we take that name and make it normal? Why do we live a life not believing that in that name, he will still do something supernatural? That in that name, he can take your child out of a dark place. In that name, he can heal you from an addiction. In that name, he can open a blind eye. How is it that we still don't believe it? Well, you know, Pastor Alex, that was only for back then Well, when did Jesus change? When did he change? Now watch. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In other words, authority has been given to you. You have become a partaker, not because of who you are, but because of who he is. And greater is he that is in you. This you have to grasp. You must grasp that living on the inside of you is the Spirit of God that is absolutely nothing normal. And that inside you lives resurrection power. Resurrection power. The problem with us as Christians is not inside, it's on top. Now, some of you might be sitting there thinking, you know, I don't want to hear this. This is not what it's about for me. I just want to live a normal Christian life. Well, I want to show you that Jesus speaks about this to his disciples. Watch this. Are you guys all okay this morning? You see, the first thing, let's go to John 14, verse 11. John 14, verse 11. He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. In other words, listen, if you don't believe I am who I say I am, at least believe because of what you see. What's he talking about? You can try and theologize this as much as you like. He's talking about the supernatural. He's talking about whenever he shows up, demons tremble. Whenever he shows up, people's lives are transformed. That's why when we go to church, transformation is one of the primary keys to seeing whether God is there or not. If people's lives are not being transformed, something is wrong. If you've been a Christian and you're the same way that you were before you were saved, I question your salvation. There must be fruit. There must be transformation. There must be change. And listen, there's nothing normal about that change. Well, you know, that's not what the psychologist said. I don't care what the psychologist said. There are good psychologists. We thank God for them. But we're not talking about anything normal right now. If you don't believe in me, believe for the sake of the works. We're talking about the supernatural. Now watch. Verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. So he's just said, if you believe, at least believe for the works, because you can see that this cannot be normal. This must be supernatural. This must be God. Then he says, if you believe in me and something, and the works, what works? The supernatural works. The evidence that God is present in the situation. In other words, when you begin to minister, or when you begin to pray, or when you begin to step out, you begin to see that God is in it because something is happening. And he's saying to them, listen, he says, if you believe in me and the works that I do, you will do also. He says, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, whose name? What name is that? There is no name like that name. There is no other name by which every knee shall bow. Come on. There is no name but that name. And if you believe, he says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified. Remember, he said earlier on, he said that everything he does brings glory to the Father. There is no difference between the word or the name of Jesus in your mouth, being a believer that is filled with the Spirit, that is blood washed, that is born again, there is no difference, or there should be no difference. There should be no difference. Why? Because if there's no works, people won't believe. Or they will believe, but they'll believe that he's not supernatural. Read the text carefully. If they don't believe in me, let them believe for the works. Then he says this. He says, not only that, but I tell you this, that if you believe in me and the works that I do, you will do them also. What does that mean? That means that by that name, in that name, there is nothing normal about your prayer. There is nothing normal about that situation, because you serve a supernatural God, and he is still moving and breathing and having his being right now, and it's in your life. Are you with me? But if you don't believe, you'll never see. That's why that name, Jesus, must always be sacred and holy. And you need to understand what it represents, who it represents, and just how powerful it is. I've done deliverance. And while I'm busy doing deliverance, the demon spirits will say, don't say that name. I say to them, come out in Jesus' name. They'll say, don't say that name. Don't say that name. If you're doing deliverance and you tell the person, say that Jesus Christ is Lord. If there's a demon spirit, the person can't say it. You want to check if you have a demon, just say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, half of you are checking. If you can do it, you're probably okay. But sometimes people can't do it. Why? Because the spirit inside knows that it has to bow. That it has to. Once that person makes a decision to make Jesus Christ Lord of their life, the fear goes, the darkness goes, the oppression goes, everything has to bow its knee. That's the way it works. Why? Because there is no other name. There is no other name. There is no other name besides that name. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, that's only about them. Now, let me ask you a question. He says this. He says in verse number 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me. Let me ask you all a question. Do you believe in him? Okay. Then he says, and the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works. We're all okay with that. But many theologians will argue and say, well, that's only about the early church. Well, I have a problem with that, because let's go to another verse. Let's go to Mark 16, verse number 17. Are you all okay this evening, this morning, this evening somewhere? Amen. And these signs will follow those who believe. Who is it talking about? It's talking about you. Are you a believer? Okay. I didn't say it. You said it. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name. In whose name? There is no other name, guys. This is the only name. When you take on that name, when that becomes your identity, when you recognize that it's not your will, but his will that be done, when you say, Lord, I'm a sinner, but greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I want you to know that this scripture applies to you, because you are a believer. He says this. He says, in my name, they will cast out demons. Now, let me ask you a question. When last did you cast out a demon? It's what you're supposed to be doing. That should be normal to you. When you are not coming up against the darkness, that's not a normal Christian, according to the Bible. The Bible says that believers there will be signs that follow them. Why? Because you carry that name. If there's no power in that name, something's wrong. There must be power in that name in your life. If there's no power, you might not realize just how powerful the one is that lives on the inside of you. You see, when it comes to Lazarus, I spoke about this last night. I'll share it with you real quick. Lazarus, do you believe for one second that when they came and told Jesus that Lazarus was sick, that he couldn't just speak the word and Lazarus would rise from the dead? No, the Bible says that Jesus said, don't worry, he's asleep. We'll go get there. And Jesus knew he was going to die. But the Bible talks about how at the end it tells us that all of that took place and the miracle took place for the glory of God. Why? So that people would believe. The Bible says so that they would believe that he was the Son of God. Let me ask you a question. There are people in your life right now. There are people living in your life, family members. Listen, if you haven't realized by now that the world is in turmoil, that things are busy shaking on the planet, the only thing that cannot be shaken is the kingdom of God. You are the answer to the world. There are people in your life, in your family, in your home. There are people, your children, your loved ones. They need to find Jesus. But the Jesus that you must introduce them to is not one that is dead. He is alive. He is alive. He is alive. And he lives right now. And he has never changed. He has never changed. All right. I'm almost done. I'm really almost done. Okay. I need to show you one more story real quick. Oh my goodness, this is so powerful. It's a story we've spoken about so many times, but yet it just shows us how powerful the name of Jesus is. Jesus has risen from the grave. He's gone up to be with the Father. And Peter and John decide it's 9 o'clock in the morning. We're going to go to prayer because that's what they did. That's why we have prayer meetings. Amen? Because that's what they did in the Bible. I think we should do what they do in the Bible. Is that okay? All right. Acts 3, verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." And he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you." What did he have? He knew who he represented. He knew the power of that name. And he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Come on, somebody. That's the power of that name. That's the power of that name. And the Bible says in verse number 7, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with him, walking, leaping, and praising God. Hallelujah. Now, if you read further, you'll find out that they overemphasize the fact that this was done in the name of Jesus. But I need to show you something really astounding. Because things haven't changed. I want you to really think about this. Things have not changed. The religious system is still doing what it has always done. You see, once they found out that in the name of Jesus, there was a miracle that actually took place, they called them in to be scrutinized. And so they went aside, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they had a discussion about what they could do. And take a look at what it says, Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, I want you to know that it doesn't matter about what background you have. It doesn't matter how you grew up. It doesn't matter how bad your past is. Listen, when the power of God and when you accept the name of Jesus, you take on a new identity. Is that okay? they could see that these guys were uneducated. But unfortunately for them, or fortunately for all of us, there is something about that name. They marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. You see, when you are with him, when you spend time in his presence, when you draw near to him, when you have a desire for him, you will be transformed. You will be changed. There is nothing boring about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing boring about being a Christian. The only ones who make it boring is us. Why? Because we don't believe. Or we believe we might make it to heaven, overemphasis on might. But we refuse to believe that he's still the same God that he always has been. Now watch, it's about to get really good. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside outside the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us surely severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in that name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. Now, do you believe that that name is just as powerful? Do you believe that that name is just as wonderful? Do you believe that that name is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Now, let me ask you a question. If there was no miracle, would they have told him not to pray in that name? Think about it. If there was no supernatural, would they have worried about that name? What makes you think we're any different in the church today? The problem is not inside, it's on top. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. That's why we have to recognize. You need to come tonight. I'm going to talk about a stone. You need to recognize that they're the same power that was flowing through the lives of those disciples actually flows through you. But the Bible tells us and teaches us that if we only had faith the size of a mustard seed, but we don't even have that much faith because we have been taught and programmed that God doesn't live and doesn't move the way he used to anymore. And you want to know why they don't believe? And you want to know why they don't care? Because the church has become powerless. And the name of Jesus has lost what it should mean to us. Because that name is sacred. That name is holy. That name is powerful. That name is life-changing. And that name has just as much power in your life and in your mouth if you only believe. All you have to do is believe. Believe that he was and is to come. That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are not supposed to live a natural life. You are born again. You have been born into a supernatural kingdom. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. That's why, like Pastor Mike said, even in the drought, even in the wintertime, God will give you a summer day. Because he is supernatural. And you were meant to live that way. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap. Amen. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, we honor you. And we know, Lord, that the supernatural begins when we become born again. Father, I pray this morning that there will not be one person that will leave this place and not know you. not have given their lives to you. The first miracle is when you become born again. The first miracle takes place when you say, I believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. So if you've come into this place this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, I need to give my life to Jesus, or I need to make my life right with Him because I've backslidden and I've drifted away from Him. If that's you, just quickly slip your hand up so I can pray for you. Don't be afraid. Quickly, God bless you. God bless you, God bless you. Just quickly slip your hand up and I'll pray for you. God bless you in the back. God bless you. Thank you so much. Anybody else, include me. God bless you. Thank you. Listen, this is between you and God. Nobody else. No one's looking. I'm going to do one more call. I want to include you in this prayer if that's you that says, I desperately need Jesus. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Your life, ma'am, is about to change. Anybody else? Quickly, just raise your hand real quick and I'll include you in this prayer. I feel like I'm just waiting for one more person. There you are. God bless you. Can we all stand? Let's all stand for just a moment. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He was raised from the dead, we will be saved. That's all it takes. Grace is amazing because the Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. And all you have to do is say, Lord, here I am, forgive me. I want to serve you. And you make Him Lord of your life and He will forgive you. And you can just go for it with God. And you don't have to live a natural Christian life. You can live in the supernatural. I'm going to ask if we can all pray this prayer together. But those of you that raised your hands, especially you, please pray this with me. But pray it from your heart. I'm not calling you to the front. This is a confession that you make before God. But mean it when you pray it. And you'll see how He will change your life forever. Can we all pray this together? Say, Father, I come to you now. In the name of Jesus, I believe that Jesus died and rose again, that He is the Son of God. I make you Lord of my life. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood and write my name in the book of life. Holy Spirit, come and fill me now. In Jesus' name, make me whole, make me new. All things are new. In Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.